is the Paul McGuire Report. What's going on in the United States and the world? Once again, we look at things happening all around us, and they have a matrix-like quality, a virtual reality-like quality, in that they look like puzzle pieces that somebody's trying to assemble into a coherent picture. Now think about this. Your life, my life, the lives that we live on planet Earth, as we look at the reality all around us, on the personal level, on the national level, on the global level, reality is not as clear as it used to be in previous generations, primarily before communications technology. Because communications technology, unlike other transformations that have happened on planet Earth, communications technology, I guess you could start with early electronic recordings, audio recordings, early photographs from cameras that used film, early radio, then the telephone with actual wires where everything had to be wired, and so on and so forth. And then into our particular period in history where we're moving into a world of artificial intelligence that is merged with platforms, hive mind, world brain, social media, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what used to be crystal clear, or you could see clearly, now it's complex, it's fractured. And I was trying to think of a word for it, and a word came to my mind that you may know, that you may be familiar with this word. I haven't heard this word spoken in a long time, and that's the word discombobulated. People used to use that word. I can't recall hearing that. Discombobulated simply means confused and disconcerted, like, you know, he or she looks discombobulated. I don't know why you would use that word except to try to impress somebody, but discombobulated used to be a word that people used. They look confused. They look disoriented. Now, Christians, Bible-believing Christians, live life like anybody else. So you have to deal with confusion and, at our age, a lack of clarity. And the lack of clarity could be synonymous with a lack of vision. And God's word says, my people perish for lack of vision or understanding. So the challenge before us is we now have hidden manipulators between us and reality. It used to be that men or women anywhere on planet Earth, they would deal with reality even before technology came around. They would deal with the reality right in front of their faces or their eyes or their ears. And a lot of what they experienced on a daily basis was God's nature. Humanists love to talk about nature and the environment, but they forget the most important thing, that nature and the environment is the creation of the Creator, capital C, the Creator God. So what we like about nature, what is refreshing about nature, what is wonderful and awesome about nature, ultimately, and they censor this part of it, and it's the most important part, nature is a reflection of God. That's why it's so awesome and beautiful and infinite. It touches, when we experience the beauty and the warmth and the creativity of nature, we're coming in contact with God Almighty. That's why we respond the way we do. We're coming into contact on many levels with the majesty and wonder of God. Now, so man is in rebellion from God. That began ever since Adam and Eve, who lived in a natural paradise. The Garden of Eden, or paradise, was God's creation. Adam and Eve lived in a natural, beautiful paradise created by God. That paradise began to disintegrate when Adam and Eve rebelled from the Word of God, listened to the serpent of old, or Lucifer, and then the fall of man occurred, and every single one of us are born with fallen human natures. We have an inner propensity to sin by nature. And it's only if we become born again that we can be saved from the penalty of that sin. And the only way to be saved from the penalty of that sin is not to try to invent your own technological counterfeit paradise. The only way to be saved from that sin is to put your faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be cleansed by his blood. But modern man rebels against that. So we have a challenge here, and the challenge is that in earlier generations, going back and really going back before the beginning of the technological age, man and woman interfaced with reality. They could see it, they could taste it, they could touch it, they could experience God's nature. And so even in nature, there was the reflection and communication of God. Nature is a witness of the very existence of God. One of the reasons God has placed mankind in what is still left of the beauty of nature is nature ministers to men and women and children on many, many different levels. But when you remove God's nature, when you remove the teachings from the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you now have set up a giant wall between you and God's reality. And so to fill the void, man fills other men and women's lives with man's creative counterfeit, technological toys, websites, the internet, you know, video, audio, the entire array of cell phones, laptops, whatever. And that becomes a kind of an electronic counterfeit, an electronic matrix, so that the world that we're experiencing is a simulation, and it's not a very good simulation, of God's original template, which was paradise. And when Christ returns, he's going to bring back that paradise, to put it somewhat bluntly, in a fast download, because the old heaven and the old earth will be burned up, and the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem will come into being. And all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will live once again in God's paradise, heaven, forever and ever, for all eternity. We will live in paradise. And everything we see, everything we touch, everything we feel will be a reflection or a part of God. And it'll be beautiful once again. And it'll be awesome. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us and help us spread this message far and wide. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul teaches us about this biblical principle of one of the primary purposes of creation and of God's nature. And in Romans 1, starting in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." So we see here that Paul is telling us about men and women who suppress the truth of God that is clearly evident for any one of us to see in nature, in other human beings. We don't worship nature. We don't worship other human beings, but we recognize that they are the creation of God. In verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world," that's talking about the beauty of nature and paradise and Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden. "For since the creation of the world," so right at the very beginning, "his," that's God's, "invisible attributes are clearly seen." What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that when you look at nature, when you look at mankind, when you look at God's handiwork, when you look at God's creativity, it communicates loud and clear in and of itself that there is a creator God and that God exists. The nature, creation, is evidence of the existence of God. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." And then, "the law of God is written in every man or woman's heart, whether they're saved or not." So no matter where you go on planet Earth, and we still have an obligation and a mandate from God to go into all the world and preach the gospel and save men and women. But in the heart of every man and woman, there resides the law of God, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. What does that mean? It means if you do something that is wrong, you know it inside of you. Somebody goes and kills somebody or whatever, they know that's wrong. So the school systems are designed to erase that from the minds of boys and girls who will go on to be adults. But the school system is, think of the school system as one giant factory from kindergarten to whatever degree you decide to get, okay? The school system is deliberately, intentionally, I really hope you hear the intensity in my voice, because the way most evangelical Christians act, they act as if they're in a stupor. For crying out loud, they act as if they're in a stupor. Being in a stupor is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The entire school systems were designed to eradicate, to destroy, to remove any of God's law in their hearts, any truth about God, Jesus Christ, his word. School systems are designed to erase all that. Well, what is that? What did I just describe? Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty and say it for what it is. This is why Christianity is so anemic and weak in our nation, in most of the church, because it's frightened, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It's frightened to stand up and say that I believe an intelligent God created the world, and to be able to not have to bow to the false gods of evolution and humanism. So the way God has created us, even though we're fallen, we still have the law of God written in our hearts. We can still see the reality of God that is evident in nature. And even though you put somebody through a mind control factory where you use various techniques to attempt to erase that or eradicate that from the hearts and minds of boys and girls, even though there's an all-out effort and a technological effort and a scientific effort as well to erase everything about God and the reality of God and the Word of God from the hearts and minds of children. This is what our school systems are built upon. This is the platform they're built on. It's not an accident. It's not happening. You know, when I quote to you statistics such as approximately 8 out of 10 evangelical Christian kids will leave their faith in Christ or walk away from their faith in Christ by the time they enter college. Well, how did that happen? That's from reputable pollsters. Reputable pollsters. Why is that happening? It's happening because Christians are just giving their kids over to an educational indoctrinational system without paying any attention to the content of what they're being taught. And when you know anything, a minimal amount of the content of what they're being taught, you would understand clearly that the entire reason that the educational system exists is to indoctrinate, not educate. You say, well, oh, that's so extreme. I don't care what you think it's extreme. I've done my research. I've done my homework. And anybody who would challenge that, you're an idiot. You're a flat-out fool. I have in my books, which are available at paulmaguire.us, I have quotes, I have documentation from the people who created the American educational system, such as John Dewey, who, don't you think it's strange that John Dewey returns from the communist revolution in Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution? He returns from being in the middle of the communist, what was he doing in Russia to begin with? He returns from being in the center of the communist revolution of Russia, learning all about how the Russian communist state uses propaganda and mind control to brainwash their youth into rejecting God and becoming communists. So mysteriously, John Dewey comes back to the United States of America, and he is one of the key heads and key organizers in setting up a giant public educational system, including private schools too, which are built largely upon the template of what he learned in communist Russia. In 1917, this occurred, which is the official year of the Bolshevik Russian Communist Revolution. So officially, starting in 1917, the schools were set up. They were built on the model of the communist Russian education indoctrination school system. They were built imitating that. And they were also built to replicate the same result. There are people, I have quoted in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1 or 2. I have quotes from prominent educators who have written books and published statements with the National Education Association, things like that. And these prominent educators come out and say, quote, and I have the documentation in my book, quote, "The purpose of education is not to educate, it's to indoctrinate." Okay, so this is not from some UFO conspiracy site, for crying out loud. This is a mainstream educational leader, national. And this is quote after quote after quote, where they admit openly that the purpose of the educational system is not to educate, it's to indoctrinate. Why would you want to do that? If you hate Christianity and you're trying to destroy Christianity, and if you hate God and you're trying to attack God, the purpose and the goal of a communist is to spread communism through violent or cultural revolutions. In order to succeed at doing that, they have to erase from the minds of the youth, as well as corrupt the minds of the youth, so that everything about God they're attempting to erase from their minds. And then they want to twist our youth and turn them away from biblical truth. Now, this doesn't override God's word, because just because they're trying to suppress the truth in unrighteousness, the fact remains, verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why are they without excuse? Because there's plenty of proof, and God's going to hold every man and woman accountable for the truth that they know. There's plenty of truth around, and people are going to be held responsible for the truth that they know. Now, we need to go forward and preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, win people to Jesus Christ through effective evangelism. We don't sit passively by. So right now, in America and in the world, we are in a cosmic spiritual war of titanic proportions. Titanic proportions. But nevertheless, the things of God are clearly seen to anyone who isn't in the business of trying to suppress the truth. And then, as men and women turn, see, men and women can be corrupted through many ways, primarily through spiritual deception, through lies, through seduction of various kinds. And the book of Romans is warning us about this. Now, back to the purpose, the intention, the plan for the school systems was to erase biblical truth, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of God's word, to erase it from the population so that you can twist the youth, you can twist numerous generations of people and cause them to reject the truth of the Bible and the truth of Christianity so that you can accomplish your real goal. Communists have a very clear goal. Christians should have an even clearer goal, but communists and Marxists and socialists have a very clear goal: overthrow any society built on Judeo-Christian biblical principles, overthrow any society that incorporates capitalist principles. By the way, capitalist principles are the principles used primarily in the Bible. You probably didn't hear that in church, did you? No, you probably heard some fool spouting off their mouth about how we're dedicated to social justice. And I say fool, you say, well, how can you say fool? Well, look, I don't, as Paul McGuire, I certainly don't compare myself to the Apostle Paul just because I have the same name. I'm not deluded. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm Paul McGuire, not the Apostle Paul. But you say, well, you know, you're so crude with your words. Oh, am I crude? Well, let's not go by the cultural opinion or this contemporary Christian. What do you call that, cheese? Oh, yeah. Okay. When I was a kid, before somebody told me what it was, whenever I went to a friend's house, because my mother wouldn't buy it, and if I went to a friend's house when I was a little kid, and they had, you know, Velveeta cheese sandwiches, like ham sandwiches with Velveeta cheese or Velveeta cheese, and I thought it was delicious, okay? Now, my mother would never bring Velveeta cheese into the house because she knew what it was. Velveeta cheese is like eating Play-Doh or plastic. Most of you remember Play-Doh, right? I don't know if it's still around. Play-Doh was like a Play-Doh. You could squeeze it and shape it, and it was a color, and kids loved it. It may still be around. I really wouldn't know. Haven't been in the sandbox for a long time. So anyway, the Christians in America, they're nourished on a spiritual diet of Play-Doh. Cheesy plastic. It's not even real. You can leave Play-Doh up on the shelf, I don't know, for how many years before it, I don't know if it ever goes bad. So you can't receive nutrition, which keeps you alive, by having a diet of Play-Doh. But that's what we have in America. So, what does the Word of God say regarding when I said fools? They're fools. And I'm sure I offended people. Oh, he's not Christian. A real Christian would never say that. Okay, well, let's compare it to the Apostle Paul. Out of the same passage that I just read you in Romans chapter 1, this is the Word of God, by the way. Starting in verse 21, Paul writes, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that means God is writing the Word of God supernaturally through the Apostle Paul. And this is the first strike, if you will. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Anybody who understands English knows that's just a little bit of a polite way of still calling them fools, but softening it just a tad bit. But the Word of God is calling them fools. No, not Paul McGuire. The Apostle Paul is calling them fools. And in case there's any misunderstanding that the Apostle Paul actually meant to say fool or foolish, it's all defined in the next verse, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Okay, so twice, they're foolish, they became fools. What God is saying is when people reject the Word of God, they become fools. So as a Bible teacher, I have every right to use a word like fool in the same manner that the Apostle Paul used it. Because a fool is a fool. And there's no, what are you going to do, obscure the meaning of the word fool? It's an insult. It's intended to be an insult. Take your evangelical sunglasses off, okay? Take them off. That's a filter. That's not biblical, a biblical worldview. That's a counterfeit, just like the Play-Doh reality. Take your evangelical sunglasses off. If God Almighty, the Supreme Being, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, writing through his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, anointing and writing directly through the Apostle Paul, God is calling those people who reject the truth of God. He's calling them foolish and fools. I mean, what part of the word fool do you not understand? And it's a rebuke from God to any man or woman or church that insists upon believing in a lie and insists on ignoring the truth of God's reality. God is saying they're fools. This is the evaluation of God. So the word is intended, fool, it's intended to be strong because it's a rebuke. It's a rebuke, it's a correction. And any good parent knows true love confronts. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about unacceptable behavior regarding children. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you want to raise your child to be a fool, deprive him or her of instruction. And that means you need to teach them the truth, even if it's difficult for them to absorb. So in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. See what happens when men and women reject the truth of God and they exchange the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature, men and women, rather than the Creator, capital C, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, man worships man, worships nature, instead of worshiping God. And that's what we have. Behind all the political battles, the cultural battles, behind the battle of the Supreme Court judges, it's really a battle between two different worldviews, a biblical worldview or an atheistic, humanist, evolutionary worldview. Now, communism always censors, forbids, destroys, kills anything to do with Christianity or Christian worldview. And therefore, one of the purposes of the school systems is to destroy Christianity from the hearts and minds of children and adults. Remember, at its very spiritual roots, communism, Marxism, and socialism is designed to destroy Christianity. Its real energizing force, as admitted by its leaders, and I quote the leaders in my book, Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. The famous communist revolutionary leaders like Lenin and Stalin and Chairman Mao and Castro and others. Deep historical experts have analyzed their lives and have told us that what really energized these communist revolutionary leaders was not all this blah, 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 blah talk about Marxism, class struggle, and workers of the world unite. They weren't concerned about social justice. That wasn't their high priority. They weren't interested in giving health care to everybody. That was not their priority. They were not interested in Marxist economic theory and redistributing the wealth. All the stuff that they blah, 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 blah about, that is not what drove these communist revolutionaries. What drove them, their secret passion, is they had a demonic hatred for Jesus Christ, a demonic inner hatred for Christianity, the Bible, and the Word of God, and that many of them were practicing Satanists, or at the very least, practitioners of the occult. So really, at its bare essence, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, what's going on in this clash of worldviews is the spirit of Antichrist moving through men and women and organizational structures that has been programmed to destroy and attack Christianity in a very aggressive way. You remember the Terminator movies. I don't know what were there, 3 or 4, I can't remember. And the Terminator, of course, was the cyborg robot, killing robot, played by Schwarzenegger, who went on to be mediocre in another field. Let's just put it that way. And the Terminator was a terrifying cyborg killing robot that this resistance in the future had to fight, but they didn't have the same level of technology. Well, the communist Marxist socialist strategies are like Terminator, cyborg, war-killing robots. They're vicious, but they're programmed to kill Christianity and wipe it from people's minds. Speaking of programmed to kill, I produced a science fiction, I was the executive producer on a science fiction movie, a low-budget science fiction movie called Wired to Kill, that came out in 1981 and had a full national theatrical release, was shown hundreds of movie theaters across the United States. It was a low-budget Terminator film. You know, even though I was the producer of it, I can't say it was a great film. It wasn't a great film. It was just like a, you know, B-, C-plus, kind of a Road Warrior type of movie. But in the movie, and I was just thinking about this the other day, the whole screen goes black and there's giant white lettering. And I can't remember the exact words in the opening of Wired to Kill, but it talked about a coming pandemic, a coming virus, that this biological virus will come to wipe out the world. And so the movie that I produced for Frankie Schaefer, the director, had to deal with this futuristic world, which was destroyed by this pandemic. And so they were futuristic gangs, a dystopian future. And in a very odd way, it had foreshadowings of the coronavirus pandemic, except taken to an extreme. Anyway, the intent of communist Marxists and socialists is they're energized by a spirit of Antichrist. It's a demonically controlled cultish belief system. And you see, the way things in the spirit work, that if people are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if people are not immersed in the Word of God, nature abhors a vacuum. They're going to be empty. So they're going to look for something else to fill it. They're going to look for something else to fill their minds with and their hearts with, and that's what's happening. We're in an all-out struggle because, you see, again, these appointment of judges do not represent, it's not a merely political battle. Ultimately, it's a clash of worldviews. You see, there are many people, especially the elite of the world, they use communism and socialism and Marxism as a tool of oppression, as a radical tool, a mechanism of conquest. And they're very sophisticated about it. And they use the psychological science of the dynamics of the human emotion, envy, as a prime driver in getting people to participate in a full-blown communist revolution. And don't think for a moment that that is not possible in the United States. Look at what we've been watching on television for the last number of months. An unrestrained revolution on the streets of America. And why did that happen? Because it's part of communist strategy, communist revolution 101. That's how they do it. And if you know history, you know they've done this in nation after nation after nation. This is nothing new. You know, I remember many years ago, again, it's amazing how the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, will bring things into your life, will guide your research, will guide your study, will guide your thinking, long before you're cognizant or aware of that He's doing that. The Lord was speaking to me about all kinds of things long before I had any intellectual or mental comprehension of the depths of what the Lord was trying to teach me. And I'll give you an example. I remember being an atheist raised in a very liberal household in New York City. And I remember, you know, I really wasn't big into politics back then, but I was beginning to become initially interested. But all I was exposed to was the liberal New York Times or the liberal CBS News or 60 Minutes, you know, all that garbage. And I remember reading about the essentially communist Marxist revolution that was happening in South Africa. I didn't know anything about South Africa. So, you know, I just got bits and pieces of the news story. And on one level, there was the narrative that the people were being oppressed by wealthy European Africaners who controlled the money and ranches and stuff like that. And so Mandela was part of a very violent revolutionary group. Now, they whitewashed, no pun intended, his activities. I don't know whether he directly ever participated in the violence, but the group he was part of was ultra, ultra violent. And he spent time in prison. Anyway, this communist, Marxist revolutionary strategy in what was once one of the world's most booming economies. South Africa was one of the world's most booming economies. And it was taken down, violence in the streets, communist revolutionaries, demonstrations. And once again, communism, on almost a scientific basis, uses the mechanism of envy and social justice, et cetera, to be driving forces. And what ended up happening, I don't know what the state of South Africa is currently, but the end result was of their socialist Marxist revolution is they took down the nation economically. They just destroyed it. It became unsafe to walk in the streets. There was murders and burnings everywhere. And the revolutionary group that Mandela was part of, it was called putting necklaces on people. So what these communist revolutionaries did, that was a little different than the communist revolutionaries who have been demonstrating in the streets of America. What these communist revolutionaries did is they would take old rubber tires and place an old rubber tire around the neck of boys, girls, mothers, fathers, etc. And then they would pour gasoline on the rubber tire that was around their neck, and they would light the rubber tire around the people's necks on fire with the gasoline. And these people, almost like they were being choked by a burning rubber tire that was melting, you know, with intense heat around their necks until their faces blew off and were engulfed in flames. It was a savagely brutal way of murdering people, putting necklaces on people and igniting them with fire. Well, the liberal media never tells you that. And why? Because the elite, the same elite that are financing what's happening in the United States of America, the same globalist elite, the whole thing in South Africa was simply a trial run for what's coming here. Now, I had none of the understanding and the knowledge, the research that I have now. I knew, you know, minimal at best. But somehow, I found myself compelled to pay attention to this story. I'm not a racist. I've never been a racist. But when I would watch CBS especially, I had the sense I was being lied to. When I read the New York Times or, you know, Time or Newsweek magazine, the accounts of South Africa and Mandela, I could sense that he was being artificially propped up by the super wealthy and globalist elite, because I was already starting to figure out way back then, at about 10 years old, 11 years old, that there was a globalist elite. Puzzle pieces were just beginning. I was just beginning, through God's grace, I was just beginning to be able to put together these puzzle pieces. And this happened in hundreds of different ways. It was like God was using his spirit and opening my eyes to all kinds of truths that were so far beyond my intellectual ability to process it all. And God is doing that in your life. If you're searching for the Lord, he'll explain, he'll open your eyes to what's really going on. And that's what has to happen to the church in America. Because I talk about, you know, the need for repentance and how God wants to pour out a third great awakening on America. That's all true. But if we don't get back into reading the Word of God and really developing a biblical worldview, you can't have revival breaking out in an apostate church. If all you're teaching is humanism and psychology and the New Age and the occult, you're not going to see the Holy Spirit poured out on your church. It's not going to happen, because you're violating the very principles that ignite biblical revival. And that's what we're faced with. And we don't have much time left, because what happened in South Africa could easily happen here. It doesn't take that, you know. What we've seen during this past year should be more than a warning. Anybody who's still asleep after the last 6 months, anybody who doesn't get the fact that your freedoms are extremely fragile is a fool and ignorant of history and is going to be caught off guard. And you may suffer a very, very, very disturbing future if you don't wake up and participate and show up in God's plan for your life and show up in the greatest spiritual battle in the history of mankind. So we're doing everything we can at Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church to continue to get the word out. And one of the ways we do that is that all the media we send out, the video, the audio, the articles, the books, etc., a lot of those videos and books and communications we put out are read by people who are Bible teachers and ministers and interested Christians in leadership. And they get educated biblically by the communications we put out, and then they start to repeat it. Okay, that's fine. They've learned the truth. Now they're spreading the truth. So I'm not interested in who gets the credit. Once upon a time, maybe that would have been somewhat the case, but I don't care who gets the credit. Because you know what? Any credit that you're trying to get down here on earth and you're a Christian, unless what you're doing is really being done out of a pure heart and for the right motivations, you're not going to get any credit for it. It's going to be burnt up at the judgment seat of Christ. The only thing that you're going to carry through with you into heaven are the things that you truly did for Christ, motivated by the agape love of Christ. What you truly did for Jesus, if you truly serve Jesus, that's what you're going to get rewarded for. And so right now, you know, you would think that the apostate church, the evangelical church, which is largely apostate, you would think that for no other reason but to save their own skin, they'd wake up. But unfortunately, they are functioning as fools. Now, what's the cure for being a fool? Knowledge. Knowledge is power. So we have knowledge available to you in the bundle book discounts, where you can select what book bundle you want, and you'll see the titles at paulmcguire.us, and you can get a discount if you buy them in a bundle versus buying just one. And that will educate you, and then you pass that on, and then you get the book back and give it to somebody, let them read it and circulate it and talk about it. These topics, believe me, I've been doing this for many a moon, okay? I've preached in all over the place, and I can tell you something that I've observed over the years within the Christian culture. And that is topics that really deal with reality and not some fantasy Christian world, they don't really come to the table. They're like, you know, the evangelical Christian church is kind of like a big dysfunctional family. It's got all this weird behavior that people are secretly hiding. So reality is the weird behavior that a lot of Christian churches are hiding. They don't want to deal with reality. If you dare to bring it up, they'll try to cast demons out of you, or they'll call you a false prophet or something, because they're you know, God, leave it alone. I'm not here to wake them up. But you have to be aggressive to wake them up. It's a fine balance between confrontation and decimation. I'm laughing because I didn't really intend to say it. I mean, I did intend to say it. It's just after I heard it, it just kind of, it shocked me. Confrontation, not decimation. Because if you see, you're trying to exhort somebody, but if, and I'm laughing because I have to laugh. You're going to have to forgive me. I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of the stupid media and their idiotic analysis of the coronavirus. I'm tired of the stupid media and their entire narrative. I mean, the whole it's a ship of fools is the media. They're literally a ship of fools. It looks like Fox is trying to join the fool group. Seems they're trying real hard to enter that territory. But I'm tired of it, so I want to laugh. And confrontation, not decimation, I think is a good word. Because if you know your stuff because you've done your homework, you have knowledge, and knowledge is power. You know what you're talking about. You could use the gifting God gives you in that area to not only win the argument, but if you wanted to, you could decimate the other person in an argument. I mean, just obliterate them. Expose the full extent of their foolishness and hypocrisy in the discussion, because you just ask them a question and they'll just foam at the mouth. They'll be incapable of responding. But if you decimate them, then there's no hope for redemption. And besides, God has not really called any of us to be in decimation business. He's called us to redeem people. Now, that may require confrontation, but confrontation is a different strategy than decimation. I mean, if you decimate someone, a Christian who's hopefully still searching for the truth, then there can be no opportunity for them to be changed and then change others. And ultimately, only God knows what's going on in people's hearts. So our goal is to reach as many people as we can, to challenge them to be somewhat off the wall, to think out of the box, and to win people to Jesus Christ, to win the backslider to return to Christ, and to provide biblical truth in bite-sized pieces so people can have the not have their minds, have their minds recover from the school system and the media's plan to attempt to erase biblical truth in their minds. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We are able to do this because of your willingness to be an intercessory prayer partner. I thank you for that. We're able to do this because some of you are sending our messages far and wide, and thank you for doing that. And we're able to do this because we thank those of you that just say a prayer and ask God what you can do financially in terms of a contribution or donation that will give us the monies that we need to reach more people effectively and aggressively, but also intelligently, because we don't have much time to turn this thing around. I'm just telling you that. As you continue to study and read the books like The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, at a certain point, America, and we're sticking our noses right at the door called the point of no return. We are right at the point of no return, because at a certain point, once you allow a totalitarian organizational structure to take root in a nation, once any nation gives up their freedoms, and once any nation gives up their freedoms, and totalitarianism begins to take up roots, you then erected a dictatorship-style legal framework where you have no freedoms. You have no votes. You have no ability to appeal anything. And then the door is locked. There's no going back. And if there is going back, it might take a century. So we're right at the doorstep of the point of no return. Because if they erect their beast system, it's over. You may not know it's over initially, but very soon you will know it's over. When they start to yank you out of your neighborhood or house or wherever you live, apartment, whatever, when they start to yank you out and reassign you based on their opinion of where you should live, when they decide, well, oh, no, you shouldn't live in a rural neighborhood, you shouldn't live in a suburb, you need to live in the inner city for environmental reasons. That's just the beginning of what's coming. Then they flick a switch, and all this technology that you didn't know was being put in your apartment or house or car or whatever, stuff that monitors and regulates how much gasoline, heat, air conditioning, water, whatever, you're being super regulated. And on and on and on. The whole concept, you know, really the whole concept of socialism, Marxism, communism, is that it is fundamentally a system of idolatry. And as such, based on Deuteronomy 28, it brings a curse with it. Well, what do I mean by socialism is a system of idolatry? Because what socialism does and communism does is it forces, no, it doesn't force people. Well, it might force people. It depends whether you're going along with it or not. If you disobey, you probably get shot. The idea is to get, to train people to look to Big Brother, to look to a big government, to look to government to be your God. And when any people, American Christians or anybody else, whenever you start to make the pilgrimage out of the church and you start to look to government to be your God, government to be your source, government to be your protector, in exchange, you're giving away your freedoms left and right, you end up in a cruel, merciless world of total brutality and darkness. Darkness, like most Americans have no imagination of how dark it is to live in some of these communist nations. You have no idea. These Christians who are embracing Marxism under a name called critical race theory. Fools. They're fools because they have no idea that they're bringing in a monster. They're bringing in a Frankenstein. They're bringing in brutality. They're bringing in cruelty. They will not get social justice. Read the writings of the communist leaders themselves that I have in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. The communist leaders themselves said the purpose of the communist revolution has nothing to do with social justice or a workers' paradise. Those are just the seduction words. It's about a revolution against Christ. It's really about, at its raw nerve, it's all about demonic fallen angels energizing human organizational structures in a age-long rebellion by Lucifer and the fallen angels and all the men and women who will join them. It's a war against God, and it's a war against Jesus Christ at its spiritual root. Did you hear what I said? Ultimately, communism, socialism, Marxism, progressivism, whatever you want to call it, at its spiritual root, when you clear away all the phony baloney words, ultimately, at its raw nerve, it is a violent, brutal revolution led by Lucifer, the fallen angels, and all the people who will follow them. And the outcome they seek is to cause Lucifer to be the ruler of this world, to bring in the new Aeon, A-E-O-N, Aleister Crowley, the great Satanist term. A godless world, to bring in Lucifer's world, run by fallen angels and demons. That's what it's about. But you see, if you've got a muddled head and you're not sure whether you believe the Bible or not, what I just said, it's too much for you. So your head starts to reel. You say, well, that's too intense for me. Too bad if it's too intense for you. Too bad. Grow up. I'm supposed to feel sorry for you because I'm telling you the truth and you're telling me it's too intense for you? I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to prevent you from spending all eternity in a real cosmic prison in another dimension called hell. And if by warning you about your eternal destiny, should you reject Jesus Christ, you find that intense, to use an old Jackson Heights, Queens expression when I was a kid, I say to you, tough noogies. Tough noogies. And if you don't know what that means, ask somebody. Tough noogies. Because I'm doing it out of love. You're asleep. You try to wake up somebody who refuses to wake up. You have to shout at them, wake up. Now, I'm not talking to the regular listeners of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm not talking to you. I mean, I am talking to you, but that message wasn't targeted towards you. That's targeted towards your friends or people who might be listening who've never listened before. Because it's intended to be a confrontation. A confrontation coming from agape love. The majority of the people who regularly listen to the Paul McGuire Report, you've already processed this. So, you know, you get the purpose of the intensity. I'm not being critical of you. I'm talking about the people we all know, the people that we're all trying to reach, that they do need, not coming off like a lunatic, but they need to be intensely confronted in love, intelligently and effectively. It's just pretend you're a professional deprogrammer. Maybe, you know, I don't even know if they're still around, but lots of people who ended up in cults, the reason people end up in cults is they get brainwashed. Explain techniques of brainwashing in my book, Conquering the Matrix. And people in cults get brainwashed. And no matter how you talk to them rationally, it's very difficult to get them to leave the cult. So desperate parents through the years have hired people, sometimes questionable people, who call themselves cult deprogrammers. And what they do is that they spend time with the individual who's been brainwashed to be in a cult, and they systematically deprogram them. And they set their minds free from the programming that the cult has hypnotically embedded in them for the purpose of dominating and controlling them. So you have to function, and I have to function, as deprogrammers using Christian principles. And then the other thing is, we have to recognize that Marxism, socialism, communism is a counterfeit. It's a demonic counterfeit of biblical Christianity. And as such, at its bottom line foundation, communism, Marxism, and socialism is a cult. And people are brainwashed to be in the cult, and they have to be deprogrammed. And how do they get programmed? The media, the mainstream media, social media, the educational system, music, rap music, hip-hop, rock and roll, country, all programming devices to get people to reject God, reject Christianity, and move towards the occult or atheism, humanism, communism, Marxism, and socialism. So we have a job cut out for us, and we can win this, but we need to be educated. We need to step up our game. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. Join us as partners as you pray for this ministry, and help us with your financial donations and contributions as we seek to be more effective and more aggressive in a good way in reaching people for Jesus Christ. Because if we don't reach them, the question, who's going to reach them? There are some good ministries that are doing good jobs, but there are a whole lot of ministries turning, I believe personally, turning more people off to Christ than they are winning people to Christ. This is the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. I want to read you something from a book, not because I want to sell this book to you. I don't think I have any more copies of it left. Maybe I should reprint it. Anyway, the book is entitled, Who Will Rule the Future? A Resistance to the New World Order. And the copyright on the book is 1991. So that's quite a while back. And I want to read you something that I wrote in Who Will Rule the Future. I gave a warning based on research And I have a chapter entitled The Coming Dictatorship of America. Let me read it to you. The biggest myth ever to be invented is happening right here under our noses in America. The myth or lie that it can't happen here. This is exactly what the Jews were saying while Adolf Hitler came to power, and even when the Nazis began gassing the Jews in Auschwitz. Human beings have the amazing capacity to live in a state of psychological denial, and when something bad is going on, families demonstrate that when children are being sexually abused, or often when alcoholism enters the picture. Many in our culture, and specifically Christians, are in a state of denial about what is happening in our nation. Now, I want you to pay attention, if you don't mind, to what I wrote here. Just look at what's happening on television. I talk about demonstrations in the streets. And then I talk about, quote, Christians are being arrested for holding Bible studies in their homes. Churches are being shut down by the government. America is sliding toward a totalitarian state subtly. Now, the point here is that this was written a long time ago, and I was warning about the fact that churches would be shut down by the government. That's happened already. Churches in California are shut down unless you comply to a ridiculous number of requirements. So what seems far-fetched isn't far-fetched. It just takes a little bit of time. Now, the whole purpose of this ministry, the whole purpose of my books, is never to impart a spirit of fatalism on people. And that means regarding your own personal life as well as fatalism regarding the nation. And to recognize that there are powerful forces being funded by very wealthy groups and individuals. And they have a plan for America. And they use all these historic strategies and techniques. We have to educate people, get them up to speed as to what these strategies and techniques are that are being used against them. And then we have to ignite the flames of revival. And how do we ignite the flames of revival? By using media, social media, video, radio, audio, computers, laptops, cell phones, et cetera, to effectively communicate truth and so transform individuals for Jesus Christ and transform the culture so that God's prophetic destiny for America and for individual lives such as your life can be fulfilled. And how we do that is we have many of you who are prayer partners, intercessory prayer partners for me, my family, in this ministry. Many of you pass our messages along so we can do an end run around censorship when you send the links of our programming directly to people and groups. And finally, when you truly seek the Lord and ask Him what you should give to Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church so that we can expand the ministry and grow the ministry. Because if we don't get these biblical principles, these biblical truths, if we don't get them out there so that they can empower you, empower God's people, and ignite an authentic biblical revival and a biblical third awakening, we will perish as a nation. So, it's like all hands on deck. We don't have that much time. This these Supreme Court nominations is just a reflection of that. And you look at the seat of the enemy in terms of lying and distortion We have to educate people as to what is happening, what they can do about it, and then, most importantly, biblical truth. But I need you to join with me. You know, there's nobody, you can't look around for some other group or some other person to do it. There are people, and there are groups who are doing a good job, and there are good churches who are doing a good job. But most of them are asleep. That's just reality. So we need to pray seriously for our nation, seriously for Supreme Court nominations, seriously for the election. And we need to be prepared, because the enemy we're fighting, their primary operating principle, that they allow themselves to do anything. Anything evil is fully justified, because by their own words, they say, by any means necessary. So in communism, or communist thought, in socialist thought, in Marxist thought, they operate on the principle of by any means necessary. They believe they're fully justified to break any moral law, to break any legal law, to do anything, revolution, violence, killing, bombs, explosions. They are allowed, by their own communist doctrine and thinking, to accomplish their so-called workers' paradise revolution, in their words, by any means necessary. Now, one of the most important things, you see, as long as the church and pastors are being lulled to sleep with these lullaby songs from Christian music, they don't understand the critical danger we're in. They're looking at life through like rosy glasses that are distorted. The people that finance these groups and their intentions, remember, they're based on by any means necessary. And they also believe that the means, like violence, rape, murder, mass starvation, the end justifies the means. So whatever it takes, no restraints, as long as it furthers their goal of a communist, Marxist, socialist revolution, which, if you study and read, you recognize is created by the spirit of Antichrist. That's what we're fighting. So we need to enlist people. We need to educate people. We need to get people up to speed, and we need to expect God's supernatural help to ignite the fires of revival, to raise up a spiritual army, to pour out the Holy Spirit in a biblical manner on several generations of young people and adults. God wants to bring in a last day soul harvest and revival, but he can't do it if his people are not built up in the Word, if they don't have a biblical worldview. You and I were called here for such a time as this. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Pass this message along, and remember to pray with all your heart for the confirmation hearings, for the election, for what happens. Be on the alert, a high alert, about any number of things that could mysteriously happen before the election, during the election, and after the election. Be on the alert. Be on the alert. Keep on a lookout. Keep your eyes open. These people have a dogma of total anarchy. They will do anything. And don't expect it to be just quiet and all peaceful and rosy. Be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And whom may he devour? Those people who are asleep. We need to wake them up. But to be awakened, and I'm not talking about woke culture, to be awakened means to be on the alert. And that's a message for those of us in Watchman Ministries, and this is a Watchman Ministry. We've been called by God to be a watchman of the wall. And it's also for Christians to be watchmen and watchwomen on the wall. And the first order for the watchman is to be on the alert. And God warned the watchman, if you fall asleep when you're supposed to be on the alert, and you fail to warn my people of the enemy coming to attack them and slaughter them, God's going to hold all these watchmen and watchwomen accountable because they failed to warn God's people. So we have to warn. We have to blow the trumpet, the shofar, and we do that through programs like the Paul McGuire Report. God bless you, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.